Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. We all require clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, soil which can sustain life. Our guest, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has worked on behalf of our environment for more than 20 years, intentionally nonpartisan. Mr. Kennedy's book, Crimes Against Nature, is a stinging indictment of what he calls today's corporate crony capitalism. America's increasingly filthy air, tainted water, and poisoned land are no accident, Mr. Kennedy says. They are the direct result of policies put in place by George W. Bush and his administration. We don't know about it, Mr. Kennedy says, because our public airwaves have been sold to the highest bidder. Not only is the United States losing its common wealth, Robert F. Kennedy is convinced that democracy itself is at risk.
Corporations don't want democracy and they don't want free markets. They want profits. And the best way for them to capture profits is to use our campaign finance system, which is a system of legalized bribery, to get control of government officials and then use government agencies to crush their competition or eliminate their competition and gain control of the marketplace.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an environmental lawyer, the senior attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council. He's also chief prosecuting attorney for Riverkeeper, president of Waterkeeper Alliance, a clinical professor at the Environmental Litigation Clinic at Pace University School of Law, and a former assistant district attorney for New York City. Mr. Kennedy's book, Crimes Against Nature, How George W. Bush and His Corporate Pals Are Plundering the Country and Hijacking Our Democracy, is his second. Bill Russell and I share Mr. Kennedy's urgent concerns for our environment and for our democracy. So when Mr. Kennedy came to Atlanta as part of his work on behalf of the Earth's environment, we welcomed the opportunity for this conversation. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I had a friend come recently to visit me, and she brought her granddaughter, who is 11. And my friend said, Emma's old enough now that she's really interested in democracy. And I know that that's something you, Paula, care about a lot. So she said, would you explain to Emma what makes democracy so special? And I said, well, Emma, there are a lot of things, but maybe the most important thing is that in a democracy, people have decided that they rule themselves and that the law is what binds us together and that everybody is treated equally under the law. That was before I read Crimes Against Nature. Now, having read that, what should I have said to Emma about democracy at the moment?
Well, you know, what you said to her is true about democracy, and that democracy is our ideal, but democracy is fragile. And, you know, what this book is, Crimes Against Nature, it is a book about how the excess of corporate power has a corrosive impact on the environment and on our democracy. It's really about democracy, and it's about how corporate power can really injure democracy. And this is not a book about Democrats criticizing Republicans. And, you know, as I always say, I've been disciplined for 20 years about being nonpartisan and bipartisan in my approach to the environment. I don't think there's any such thing as Democratic children or Republican children. To me, the worst thing that can happen to the environment is if it becomes the province of a single political party. But you can't speak honestly about the environment in any context today without speaking critically of this president. If you look at NRDC's website, the Natural Resource Defense Council, which is the group that I work primarily for, you'll see over 400 major environmental rollbacks that have been promoted or implemented by this administration over the last 3.5 years. And they're designed to eviscerate 30 years of environmental law.
You don't say that lightly.
No, it's, you know, it's factual. It's not hyperbole. It's not exaggeration. It is a fact, and it's a discernible fact. And, you know, you ask about the impacts of that on our democracy. It's a stealth attack that is deliberately, it's a radical agenda that's being concealed by the White House with Orwellian rhetoric that, you know, that calls for the destruction of forests, the healthy forest law, the destruction of air, the Clear Skies Bill. But the large corporate polluters have been put in charge of the government agencies that are supposed to protect us from pollution. And that is, you know, one of the most insidious assaults on our democracy. The head of public lands is a mining industry lobbyist who believes that public lands are unconstitutional. The head of the Forest Service is a timber industry lobbyist. The head of the Air Division at EPA is utility lobbyist who's represented the worst polluters in America for 20 years. The second in command of EPA is a Monsanto lobbyist. And if you go through all of the agencies that regulate our environment, on the air, the water, and, you know, that Department of Agriculture and Energy and Interior and EPA, virtually all of those agencies and subsecretariats are now being run by people, by polluters, who are being regulated by those agencies. And these are people, as I show in my book, who have not entered government service for the public interest, but rather to subvert the very laws that they're now charged with enforcing, and in order to enrich themselves and their corporate allies and clients. And, you know, Lincoln Steffen wrote this wonderful book about American democracy, really the watershed work, and it's called Shame of the Cities. And he looked at seven cities, and he tried to find out where democracy was failing and how it was doing, to take its temperature. And he found in every case that democracy had been corrupted or was failing, it was directly traceable to business people who had entered government for their own self-enrichment. And he said that was a kind of treason, because it eroded the central assumption of our democracy, which was that public servants would be serving the public interest.
This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Bill Russell and I, Paula Gordon, invite you to be with us when we return in a moment for a good deal more.